Is God really powerful enough to help you overcome your fears? Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. I'm Scott Wilder. As Dr. Graham wraps up his current sermon series, he brings you a message called Overcoming Your Fears.
I believe the most powerful, liberating, peace-giving, joy-producing truth that I have ever learned in the Word of God outside of salvation itself is the fact that God is sovereign over every situation in my life. And therefore, I can give Him thanks, not necessarily for the circumstance or the crisis itself, but for the Christ who reigns and rules in my heart and in my daily experiences, whatever they may be.
Now with his message, Overcoming Your Fears, here's Pastor Jack Graham.
We live in a very frightening world. It's a fearful world. Whether we're watching television, listening to radio, there's one explosion after another, both physically, emotionally, and nationally and internationally. And when you wake up in the morning, you never know what you're going to hear next in the world. Perhaps your fears do not concern the fears of the world. You're capable of handling that, but maybe you have your own personal fears that you're facing. It may be the fear of death. It may be the fear of disease. It may be the fear of the downsizing that's about to hit your company, and you're fearful that you're going to lose your job. It may be the fear of what's happening next with your family and with your kids. What is your own personal fear? In John chapter 6 and verse 15, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat and went over toward the Sea of Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat. And they were afraid. He said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Truly an incredible miracle that Jesus as God is able to overcome the power of nature and the elements and to walk on water. But beyond the physical storm that was taking place, there is the truth that we all face various kinds of storms in life, and there are times when we fear the storms of life, but that Christ can help us to overcome and enable us to overcome the fears of the storms we face. We think about potential storms in our lives, and we wring our hands and we worry and we wonder, can we survive? Well, yes, believer, you can survive, and not only survive, you can thrive in the midst of the storm. Why? Because according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. 1 John 4 verse 18 tells us, perfect love casts out fear. When I know that I am perfectly loved by a God who cares about me and is devoted to me and committed to my life and my well-being, I can know in that perfect love that all fear is taken away. And so the storms of life do not cause us fear, but rather can produce great faith. It's been said that the faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And all of our faith, each one of our faith, that for all of us, it will be tested, and that we might be strengthened. Someone has suggested that there are two kinds of storms in life. There are the storms of correction when we're going in the wrong direction. There are other times, they're not storms of correction, but rather they are storms of perfection. And by that I mean that God uses the storms, the trials, the tests, the tribulations in life in order to make us more like Christ, to perfect us in the Christian life, to move us forward in our faith, to stretch our faith and make us more like the Master. And so if you're facing a storm, and if you're living in fear, we all know the chilling, clammy fears that can overwhelm us. But you can know God's grace and God's power and God's peace in the midst of the storm. And I want to show you from this magnificent miracle the pathway to overcoming your fears, because it is the pathway to peace. Just as Jesus walked on the water, you can also discover how to walk in faith through the storms of life. What is the first step in the pathway to peace in the midst of the storm? Well, it is this: you can be certain that God has a plan for your life in the midst of the storm. That God has a plan. Now, we're told here that Jesus sent his disciples down to the boat to get into the boat and to get on the other side. Actually, we're told this in Matthew's account, chapter 14 of Matthew. Here we're just told by John that they went down and got into the boat. But specifically in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus commanded them. The word, he constrained them to get into the boat. So Jesus sent them down to the water to get into the boat. It was a high and heady time for the disciples. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 had just taken place. Jesus was being worshiped as the Messiah. They were a part of it, and they were excited. They were slapping high fives all around. They figured they were going to be a big part of this great new kingdom that Christ was bringing in. But Jesus did not want to be an earthly king. He did not desire to bring in his kingdom on earth at that time, but rather he came to die on the cross for our sins, to rise again on the third day, and to bring the kingdom of God into the hearts of human beings. And so Jesus rejected those who followed him because of the miracles. He wanted to get away from all of that, so he went to the mountain to be alone, and he sent his disciples down to a boat to get into the sea and said, "I'll meet you on the other side." Now, did Jesus know a storm was coming on the Sea of Galilee? Absolutely. So in effect, Jesus sent them down, put them in the boat, and sent them right into the teeth of this storm. Did God have a plan in all of that? Sure he did. I believe the most powerful, liberating, peace-giving, joy-producing truth that I have ever learned in the Word of God outside of salvation itself is the fact that God is sovereign over every situation in my life. That Jesus rules in the circumstances of the believer's heart. That he is in control of my life. And therefore, I can give him thanks, not necessarily for the circumstance of the crisis itself, but for the Christ who reigns and rules in my heart and in my daily experiences, whatever they may be. And so when you are in the middle of the griddle, when you're facing the storms of life, you may be sent into the storm because he either arranges storms or allows storms, again, either to perfect us or to correct us. And these disciples needed to learn once again of the power and the sovereignty of Christ, as do we. But not only did they have the problem in that they were sent into the storm, but they had another problem. They were separated from the Savior, or so they thought. Because Jesus went to a mountain, John tells us, to be alone. Matthew's account tells us that he went there to pray. And while Jesus is on the mountain praying, the disciples are in the boat, they thought, separated from the Lord. Have you ever felt in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a storm, in a fearful episode in your life, that God is a million miles away? God, where are you? God, I can't see you. God, I can't feel your presence. God, I need you. Come to me in the storm. And he delays and he waits. And we wonder, God, why? Why this? Why now? Why not? Why don't you come? But you know, Jesus is never absent. The problems and the perplexities of life when we don't understand his plan. If each of us could stand and give a testimony in our lives as to when we have grown the most spiritually, when we have drawn nearer to Christ perhaps than any other time in our life, most of us would speak of times of crisis, problems, heartaches, pain, suffering, when we were brought into the very presence of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, you know, Christians are a lot like tea bags. They're not worth much until they get into some hot water. Well, these disciples, they were, I don't know if the water was hot, but they were in deep water, I assure you. And they thought they were going down. But when we face our fears, we can be confident that God has a plan. Here's the second step on this pathway through the storm and to peace with God. You can be certain of the Savior's prayers. Again, I mentioned that Jesus departed to the mountain to be alone. Matthew tells us to pray. There on the mountain, Jesus had a vantage point. Really, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, he had the best view of it all. He saw everything that was going on there. His eyes were not only locked on his heavenly Father in prayer, but he was looking at them. He knew where they were and what was going on in their lives. They didn't see him, but he saw them. And you know, when you think about it, it's wonderful when through the eyes of faith we can see him, sense his presence. That's glorious. But it's even better to know that he sees me, that he's watching me, that he knows who I am. He knows my name. He knows my need. He's looking at me. And not only is he looking at me, but he's praying for me. You say, where does it say he's praying for you, Jack? Well, it tells us in Hebrews 7:25 that he's praying for all of us who know him, for he ever lives to make intercession, that is, to pray for his own. Christ is risen and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And from that kingly place of authority and rule, he is praying for us. If you ask me to pray for you, I will do my best to pray for you. And I appreciate so much, so many who tell me, Jack, I'm praying for you. But the greatest of all is to know that Jesus is praying for us. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that his prayers are effective. Do you believe that Jesus always gets his prayers answered? I do. And he's praying for you. He loves you and cares for you individually. So isn't this amazing? That Jesus not only ordains the storms in life, but he oversees every believer in the midst of our battles, our storms, as we face our fears. And what peace it gives us to know that he's praying for us, that he sees us, that he has a perspective far beyond our human perspective, our limited perspective. The disciples, it was the middle of the night, it was dark, they couldn't see their hands in front of their face, but God, he saw them, and he was leading them all the way. But the next pathway, the next step, as we walk with him on the water, is that you can be certain that he is present in the midst of your fear. It says, Jesus came walking on the water, and he said to them in verse 20, it is I, do not be afraid. If you are a Christian, and that is, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have received him in your life as Lord and Savior and Master and King and friend, he is there in the midst of your fear. Always. And have you ever noticed his presence is always experienced at the very right moment? He came at a specific moment, at a specific time, and it was just at the right moment. It was at the moment, apparently, when these disciples had exhausted their own strength. They had come to the end of themselves. There was no place to turn. And at that moment, just when they needed him the most, Jesus was near to comfort and cheer, just when they needed him most. I've noticed in my own life that just when I needed his presence the most, he was always there. At the very right moment, his presence came breaking through into my life. So he came at the right moment, but he also came with the right message. Notice what he said in verse 20. He said, it is I, do not be afraid. He came with a message of courage. He said, don't be afraid. There's no place for fear in the Christian's life, even when the storm is raging, because fear is the contradiction, the counteraction of faith. So often when we're afraid, we begin to focus on those fears. And those fears are right here. And before you know it, the fears become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And rather than focusing on our fears, We need to hear the words of Christ who speaks and says, fear not. But he not only came with a message of courage, he came with a message of confidence. He said, it is I. Literally, I am. And when he said, it is I am, he takes for himself the sacred covenant name of God, the holy name of God. I am, he said. I am God Almighty. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you also believe that he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. But I believe more than the miracle, more than the walking on the water, what these disciples needed and what we need is Jesus himself. It is I. You need me. And they received him into the boat because he is the Christ of every crisis. He is the great I am, the contemporary Christ. Enough for yesterday and tomorrow, but certainly for the problems and the pressures and the fears of today. And so we are facing our fears because God, we know, has a plan. Sent into the storm, and the Savior praying for us, and at the right moment with the right message, he comes to us. And then finally, we face our fears by stepping with him and knowing with him that we can be certain of his power. Jesus was walking on the water. That's power. The storm that was raging around them, he had taken authority over the waters of the deep. And everything that is over our heads, the fears that fly around us, the storms that rage against us, he has conquered. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Don't expect it to always be easy. He never promised that. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christ Jesus is Lord of life and Lord of your life if you have trusted him. He is your everything for your anything. And therefore, he has conquered your fears. The psalmist said in Psalm 34 and verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Are you fearful today? Are you fighting your fears? This world is in trouble. A storm is brewing. Tribulation is around us and on the way. But in the midst of a storm that is raging around our world, the Bible tells us that one of these days, the Christ who is at the Father's right hand interceding for us is going to step out of glory. And this time he'll not be walking on the water, he'll be walking on the clouds. He'll be coming in the air. And he will speak, peace be still, and take us to be with him. You know, the miracle of this miracle here is that not only did Jesus walk on the water, but the Bible says that immediately they were in the boat, or they were on the other side, and everything was calm. And Matthew says they worshiped him and said, truly, he is the Son of God. And just like that, when Jesus comes walking on the winds, we will immediately be in his presence. And the peace that is forever will be ours in Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted him? Have you received him into your little boat? Your boat may be sinking. Your life may be going under. Receive the one who walks on the water and will come and walk around in your life and give you strength and joy for living.
Pastor, would you give us your PowerPoint for today?
I want you to think about one aspect of the miracle we talked about in today's message. Matthew 14 says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. In other words, Jesus compelled those disciples to get into that boat, knowing in advance that a storm was coming their way. Yet Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was not being malicious in any way, but he was putting his disciples through a test in order to build their faith. I know I've said this several times in the message today, but I don't want you to miss it. Outside of salvation itself, the most liberating, life-producing, joy-producing, peace-giving truth is the fact that Jesus is sovereignly in control of your life. And that means that no matter what storm you're in or what storm you're about to be in, God has you there for a reason. So you can give him thanks, not necessarily for the circumstance or the crisis itself, but for the Christ who reigns and rules in your heart and in the daily experiences of life, both good and bad. And you can thank God for loving you enough to trust you with a test, who is willing to send you into a storm to either perfect you or correct you in some way. There's a song that says, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, and when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. The same God who took you into the storm is the same God who will bring you through it. So trust His heart and His love for you right now.
And that is today's PowerPoint. If you'd like to visit us online, we invite you to log on to jackgraham.org. There you'll find our archive of past messages, our extensive e-store, and a place where you can give a secure online gift to help PowerPoint stay on this station. And tune in again next time as Pastor Graham begins a life-changing series called Against All Odds.
We must decide if we believe our message, and we must know what our message is. So many Christians today don't understand biblical truth. It concerns me that we have a generation of new style churches coming up which majors on feel good, cheerleading, up with people kind of messages that do not major on the clear exposition and teaching of Scripture. And that we're subjecting our young people and our younger adults to a message that is diluted and which won't hunt in a world without Christ. What this world needs is a clear message of truth.
That's on the next edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham.